Judge Dana Ford. Good morning, Dana.
Morning, Greg. How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. A split this week. You go into this four-game homestand, two this week, two next week, or two the week we're in now, and just Thursday you get the win over Austin Peay, 70-56, and then Murray State comes in last night, wins 76-57. It really sort of a tale of two games, if you will. I want to talk a little bit about Thursday night first, since it happened first. 70-56 win over Austin Peay, and the week started with Austin Peay, Belmont, Murray State all tied at 5-1 in league play, and you shot the ball so well and you defended so well. I mean, just look at it, 50% from the field and Austin Peay 30%.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was one of our better games in terms of being pretty good on both sides of the floor. We made 11 threes. I thought that we tried to establish an inside game early, even though we didn't get a lot of points out of it. Just the fact that we threw it inside, that opened up the perimeter. And we also did a really good job of handling their pressure in the half court, being able to get downhill and get close enough to the basket where we were shooting really high percentage shots. And defensively, I think we really followed the game plan and forced them to do some things that they probably were not prepared to do, and we had to do a good job on their inside tandem. And I thought we did that with our zone. It was big. It had a lot of energy. We bounced around, and we forced them to beat us from three, and I don't think that they could do it on that night.
No, and just different components. Yeah, but I look at the balance of the scoring. You had four of your players in double figures. Kamar McKnight just keeps getting better and better and better. He's picked up his role, 13 points. Darion Reddick, 12. Delano Spencer, and we'll talk about that in a minute, 11 points in the second half as well. So balanced scoring.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that's the best brand of basketball to play, is to be able to spread the ball. And one of the things that I liked about the Austin Peay game was that we didn't have anyone take more than eight shots, and we had maybe six or seven guys take eight shots. And that's just good balance. Obviously, you know, we want Christian Mekawulu to take most of our shots if possible, because he shoots such a high percentage and he's around the rim. But, you know, when you get in double team and triple team sometimes, that's not the case. But most of the time when he leads us in field goal attempts, you know, we're right there to either win the game or we actually win it. So that's something that we try to make a concentrated effort of doing. And against Austin Peay, we really shared the ball. And everyone was involved.
Well, right before the game, I mean, right before tip-off, Delano Spencer, your leading scorer, he's the best free throw shooter in the OVC, and all of a sudden, he's not available. And illness, sickness, or whatever, and of course, he came off the bench in the second half to give you that big boost. What happened?
Well, he had an allergic reaction to something, and I'm still not sure what it was. And it caused for him to really swell up, and he was red, he was itching, and he just couldn't see out of his eyes because they were swollen. And I think he had difficulty breathing out of his nose because it was swollen. So we ended up giving him a shot and also some medication, and it took about an hour. It took about the first half for it to kick in. And once it kicked in, he came in the second half and gave us a big lift that we needed.
I don't know if I've ever heard anything like that before.
Well, I haven't either.
when they come to your trainer or whoever comes to tell you that, you're in pregame warmups and Delano's face and head's all puffed up. I mean, who came and told you that?
I came out of my office and he was standing there scratching himself. He's supposed to be in the locker room waiting on the pregame, last pregame speech, and he's standing there, so I knew something was wrong. I didn't have a lot of time at that particular moment to see what was wrong, but I knew that they were looking for the trainer. And then after the pregame speech, they explained to me everything that was going on. But, you know, this is going to sound crazy, but this is the second time this has happened to us. 2 years ago, Wayne Martin's junior year, we were at SEMO, and literally right before the starting lineup, he started having an allergic reaction, and he swole up and could only play a couple minutes that game. We were fortunate enough to win the game on the road without Wayne Martin. And I think his was an allergic reaction from a pregame meal. So we're actually 2-0 in those type of games, and I'm starting to think I should make it part of what we do.
Well, Delano, when he did finally get into the second half, I mean, he looked terrible. He did. He had, I guess you put a breathe strip on his nose, and his face and eyes were still, you could tell, were puffy and runny and everything. But he comes in there and knocks down that first three, and then he just, you know, and he really, I guess here you guy that couldn't play in the first half, he's your leading scorer, and he gets 11 in the second half. That's a big boost.
Yeah, physically he looked terrible, but his basketball game looked about as good as it's looked. And he shot the ball well, and even the couple of shots that he missed literally rattled out of the rim. And I thought he had a lot of energy on the defensive end. He tried to rebound down. And I think, you know, not playing in the first half, he came out with a different urgency about himself in the second half, and that really helped us.
TSU Basketball Coaches Show presented by Franklin American Mortgage. Dana Ford with us, the Tigers. I also still want to stick with the Thursday night because I want to get to talking about Stokely Chaffee on the broadcast. Of course, all the games on 102.1 FM with Albert Dawson and myself. Stokely Chaffee keeps coming off the bench and giving you quality minutes. It just seems like each of your reserves now know exactly their role, and I think you see that growth coming in a Stokely Chaffee. 6'8", kid out of Oakland. Transfer from Los Politos, I believe that's how you said it, Los Petitos Community College. But he comes off the bench, 9 points, career high, 8 rebounds, and just some quality minutes off the bench.
Yeah, and he's really helped us in league play, and he understands his role. He does his role, and we actually would like for him to continue to take steps towards having more of an impact. But as of right now, he's doing exactly what we need him to do. His best attribute is his defense and his rebounding. And I think once he gets this year of Division I under his belt, he's going to have an even better senior year for us. He's just one of those guys that affects winning because of his effort, his energy, his attention to detail. And he's someone that we are happy to have, and hopefully he continues to progress. And like I said, ever since the new year, you know, he's been really good in what his role is for our team, and we're happy to see that.
Well, it gives you that, you know, rotation with Kendarius Hamilton, Christian Mekawulu. It takes a little bit of pressure off them if you need to give them a blow or they get in some foul trouble or whatever, that you feel confident to going to him. And Kamar McKnight the same way, 6'4 sophomore, redshirt sophomore out of Toronto. He's come in and he's playing quality minutes. He had 13 in the win over Austin Peay.
Yeah, he does a good job in his role as well, and he's one of those guys that we like to be more aggressive off the bounce. You know, he's shooting such a good percentage from two in the league. We think sometimes he may settle for some outside shots when he can really get downhill and put more pressure on the D. But he's done a good job with what we've asked him to do, and last night he didn't shoot the ball well. But, you know, even defensively, he's tried to get better at that. And again, he's another guy. He's just a sophomore, so he gets a year underneath his belt, and where we've got really big expectations for him, you know, throughout his career here, and hopefully he continues to improve. And I know there's been some games this year where he's really come up big for us, and we anticipate that down the stretch.
Well, the most famous left-hander in TSU basketball history, Dick Barnett, I don't want to obviously Hall of Famer, but certainly he plays a lot. I don't know if you remember. I barely remember Dick Barnett, but he was like that, 6'4", 6'5", left-hander, would do that little floater. You know, sometimes they play very similar, as a matter of fact. That just came to me.
Well, I hope he starts to score like Dick Barnett did.
The greatest, one of the greatest in TSU basketball history, Dick Barnett. Of course, long, long time with the New York Knicks. TSU Basketball Coaches Show presented by Franklin American Mortgage. Last night, Austin Peay, Thursday night, you turn around 48 hours and play a Murray State team, and you've said this before, Murray State, Belmont, and then where everybody else can position themselves, and I think you saw a little bit of that last night. Murray State's a really good team. Matt McMahon does a great job coaching that team in his third season, so you sort of ran into a buzzsaw last night.
Well, you know, they got the preseason player of the year. Against Belmont, he didn't shoot the ball well, and I talked to Randy Peel and shoot around about how did he play against Belmont. He goes, he didn't play well. I said, well what did he end up with? He goes, 19. I said, well, I like to not play well and score 19. But you know, Stark really made some tough shots and really gave them the confidence that they needed on the road to continue to play well. And then I thought, as a whole, they were just a lot more aggressive than we were. And that's on me. That's my fault. I've got to do a better job of getting our guys to understand the level of the game and being ready to do that. And that's something that I think we can learn from. We're almost halfway through the conference season here. I guess this coming week puts us at the halfway mark. But they are really good, and they defend so well this year. And that was the difference in the game last night was, from a defensive standpoint, their guards could guard our guards, and our guards really couldn't defend their guards. And I one of the biggest keys of the game was be the aggressor. And we just were not the aggressor in that game, and you could tell by the final score.
Well, and you shot 36% from the field and 4 of 20 on threes for 20% as well. And back to Jonathan Stark, of course, 6-foot senior out of Munford, started his college career at Tulane before transferring. He had 16 in that first half, finished with 25, and just a big shot right at the end, a three-pointer, and it sort of capped a 10-0 run. And you take away, and I know you can't do that because everything's all part and parcel. Parcel of the game, but you take away that last 5 minutes where they went on that 10-0 run, it sort of puts you behind the eight ball the entire second half.
Well, with 3:55 to go in the first half, we were up by one.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't finish it for whatever reason. I know that Mekawulu was on the bench, but that doesn't matter anyway because we weren't giving them the ball like we were supposed to anyway. But on the defensive end, Stark comes down and makes a shot. On the back of one of our presses, and then the next time down, we help off of a shooter, and they knock it in, and then the next time down, we give up offensive rebound, and they stick it back in the basket. So, they're just too good of a team to make some of those mistakes, and unfortunately for us, we weren't shooting the ball very well because I think we took shots that were too deep and too contested without probing the defense, or again, give credit to them, not allowing us to probe the defense and get the ball downhill, and they just took advantage of it. And when you've got a player like that that can make those big plays, it just gives the other guys so much confidence. And, Greg, we talk about the schools that are, traditionally really good in our league. They normally have those marquee players. I think that's what separates everyone is they can get the player of the year candidates consistently. And when you get one guy who gives your team so much confidence, now all those other guys who could just be average players start to think that they're really good players and they do their part, and then they just give it to their big dog to take over. And I thought they did that. He even made a big play in the second half. We had cut the lead down to 6.
Yep.
And he got fouled on a corner 3 and made all 3 free throws. And that's just what good players do. And that's something that we still need to develop here in our program.
Well, and again, the first 15 minutes back and forth, the 18-5 run is what it ended up being, lead by 12. What do you tell your team at halftime when you've gone toe-to-toe and yet that little run there at the late and they pull out into a double-digit lead? Because for 15 minutes, it was an evenly played game until they went on that run late in the second half. What do you tell your team to settle them down after something like that?
Well, the first thing is there's no such thing as a 12-point shot. I think we were down by 12 at halftime. Just got to understand that. It took them 3 minutes to go on a 10-0 run. It'll take us at least 3 minutes to go on our own run. And that's the first thing you tell them. Then you try to give them some adjustments so you can perk their interest again. And we made some adjustments at halftime that we felt like helped us in the second half. And then you just try to explain to them why they were able to go on that run. And again, for us, ill-advised shots offensively led to some transition baskets for them or put a lot of pressure on our defense by allowing them to get out and run. Now they got you back on their heels, a couple missed checkouts, and then they got a player that makes plays. So we just wanted to, get the game back at our pace coming out of halftime. And sometimes when you're behind, your players think that they have to play faster. But, 20 minutes is a long time. And we just want them to understand that it's going to be possession by possession. And we actually did a pretty good job getting it down to 6 with still a lot of time left to play. I don't really remember the number on the clock in terms of minutes. But if we could have gotten that next stop then we would have put even more pressure on them. And unfortunately, they made a play and we did.
Well, it was, yeah, you'd got it to six with just under 7 minutes to play. So obviously still a lot of time to go with that. Also last night, you know, two things. One, Christian Mekawulu. Certainly, he is going to be the focal attention of the opposing defense. You're seeing the weak side help, the double, the triple teams and everything. But it just seems like as the season progresses, maybe it's just because as you go into deeper into league play, they let things go more. But he's getting hit a lot.
Well, you have to learn how to play through contact. I mean, the thing about it, officiating, is you can't call every foul. Now, obviously, if it's a foul, you call it. But, I mean, if you go into a game and you don't prepare your guys to be physical with him, then, yeah, he's going to score 25 points on you, and you just can't have that. But, you know, it's the same way when we try to guard a Stark on the perimeter. I mean, we're probably fouling him every time because he's so good. But you just have to learn how to play through it, and we've got to do a better job of getting him in some positions to score. And I think we will coming down the stretch here, getting him the ball with 2 feet in the paint. That way he doesn't always have to dribble it, or that way he's not always going up against a double team or help defense. And, you know, we still got a lot of basketball left to play. He's got a lot of room to grow. And also for him, you know, he's got to be the aggressor. Most of the time, the most aggressive guy is the one who gets the foul. And I think sometimes he gets banged up down there so much that he loses a little aggression, but that's the game plan, and we've got to be able to outlast them doing what we do as opposed to what they prepare to do against us.
Well, also last night, just a great crowd. You could tell the students are back in this past week. 2,611 last night. Again, of course, Murray State travels well as well, but, you know, certainly a good crowd last night at Gentry Center.
Yeah, we've had good crowds, you know, all year long when our students have been in town. And that's something that's going on now for the last 3 years, and we're very appreciative for that. And although we didn't win, I still think it was a solid basketball game to watch, as well as we had a good crowd on Thursday, and that was a good game to watch as well. And you know, we just have to do a better job of performing better at home in those big games like that. I know I can remember last year at home against Belmont, we had about 6,000 or 7,000, and we just didn't perform very well. And I think a lot of times you can really gain some fans and gain some support if you win those big games, and that's just something that we've got to start to do, and I feel confident about our chances of doing it.
Let's take a break. More with Dana Ford, of course, Lady Tigers coach Jessica Kernwin, a little while as well. The TSU Basketball Coaches Show presented by Franklin American Mortgage right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Locally owned for over 20 years, Franklin American Mortgage Company has grown from humble roots to become one of the largest mortgage lenders in the nation. But they've never gotten too big to give back to the communities that have given them so much. They're proud to support numerous national and regional charities, as well as youth, collegiate, and professional sports in the Nashville area. Their values aren't only in their great rates and unparalleled service, they're in everything they do. Franklin American Mortgage. It all begins with home. Equal housing lender, NMLS number 1599.
Nice try, Mother Nature. Rain? Sleet? Snow? Uh-uh. Rookie moves. It's game day, and I'm not some fair weather fan. Give me all you got. Nothing stands between me and my team.
The 2017 Nissan Rogue. Available with intelligent all-wheel drive for the not-so-fair weather fans. Take on today. Nissan, proud partner of college athletics.
Enjoy an evening of great food, fun, and basketball all at Courtside as the TSU Tigers and Lady Tigers take on OVC rival Eastern Kentucky in the last home games of the regular season. It's the 19th annual Courtside Dining Basketball event on Saturday, February 17th at Gentry Center. The doubleheader tips off at 5:30, and fans can bid on exclusive items at the silent auction and have a wonderful meal while catching the games in this wonderful tradition. For tickets and information, visit TSUTigers.com or call 615-963-5841. Go Big Blue!
Hey, hey, TOA. Hey, hey, TOA.
What's that about?
Hey, oh, the hey, TOA cheer.
TOA?
You know, Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance.
Why are they cheering for them?
Well, they take care of more athletes in Middle Tennessee than anyone, treating joints, bones, muscles.
So if one of these players needs help, they should call TOA?
Yeah, or they can just yell, because there's likely a TOA physician already on the sidelines. They love football.
Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance, official team physician of TSU Tigers Athletics. Visit TOA.com today.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door, but as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Let me get a McPick,
too. Oh, McDonald's takes the lead and goes big, adding 2-for-5 deals up on the board. What's it going to be? The iconic Big Mac, 10-piece chicken McNuggets, filet of fish, or quarter pounder with cheese? Oh, they're good. They're all good. The fan favorites you love are back on the McPick 2 menu. Choose any two for just $5. Mix and match your McDonald's faves today. At participating McDonald's, limited time offer, single item at regular price.
When you play the new Multiplier Instant Games from the Tennessee Lottery, there's a chance you could win more cash than you expected. In fact, with Multiplier Games, you could turn $1,000 into $10,000, $5,000 into $250,000, or you could even turn $10,000 into a whopping $2 million. So pick up a Multiplier Instant Game today, and you could just watch the cash fall into place. Multiplier Games, new from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Just remember to play responsibly.
TSU Basketball Coaches Show presented by Franklin American Mortgage. Greg Pogan here, Zach Williams producing, Lady Tigers coach Jessica Kern, and a little while joined now by men's basketball coach Dana Ford. Dana, before we go any further, we've got some highlights courtesy of 102.1 FM The Ville. That's where the games are, and we'll set up what's coming up this coming week. But do want to have some of the sights and some more of the sounds, rather, from the game. This is from Austin Peay. First off, Kamar McKnight.
Stokely Chaffee comes down with it, hands it to McKnight. Austin Peay is back. McKnight's going to pull up deep three, top of the key, and knock it down. Kamar McKnight, his first three, and the Tigers up by 7.
You know, I said he was cool, he was collected, he could shoot the three-pointer. Those are the words you describe with Delano Spencer, but the same words would apply to Kamar McKnight as he nails the three.
Kamar McKnight, I love that little one-handed, one-handed sort of little floater that he does, Dana. He's got that one down.
He makes it a high clip, you know.
Yeah.
We wish he could shoot it off of 2 feet, but he runs in there off 1 foot and shoots it. But he makes it, and you know, he's one of the leading field goal percentage shooters in our league, and from the guard spot, that's pretty impressive. And, you know, like I said, from 2, I think he's shooting 68% from the floor, which is really good. And now, if you know, he can get more consistent from 3, and which he is when he shoots good ones. It's those ones that are contested that he doesn't always make. But, again, he's a sophomore guard coming off the bench doing some good things for us right now.
Well, you mentioned it, overall, shooting from the field, 44%, which for a guard is pretty darn good, and 34%, that continues to improve on the three-pointers. We talked about Stokely Chaffee coming off the bench the other night, 9 points and 8 rebounds, also the 9 points, his career high. Here's Stokely Chaffee.
On the right wing, out deep with it, straight away is McKnight. They go down low to Mekawulu's, double team, kicks it out to McKnight. Three-pointer, no good. High for the rebound is Chaffee. Chaffee just muscles his way up and in, and the foul. Stokely Chaffee with 6. That was a big boy rebound, Albert.
That's right. Really soared like an eagle to get the rebound, waited, put the shot up, got the bucket, and he'll go to the line for a three-point opportunity.
And in the Eastern Illinois game, Dana, Delano Spencer, a late steal and layup, and then against Austin Peay, quite similar.
out deep. Spencer steals it, running in it with the other way. It's Delano Spencer behind the back pass, left-handed layup. Delano Spencer smooth lays it up and in with the steal and the lay.
And how many times during critical points in the ball game have we seen Delano Spencer come up with a huge steal?
You know, and that's a good point. They're very opportunistic, as Delano Spencer.
You know, he does a great job of reading passing lanes, and even in our full court pressure, he is really good at being able to have an instinct of reading shoulders and anticipating when someone's getting ready to pass it. And you're right, Greg. He's been able to do that pretty consistently this year, and he's really good at the top of our zone at doing that. And that's something that makes our zone pretty difficult whenever we get guys who can extend out there and make plays out of it as well.
And Christian Mekawulu, here's a follow dunk.
7 seconds on the shot clock. Chaney's going to drive. He's going to go underneath, lay it up, short, no good. Mekawulu follows with the flush, with a big grin to boot. Christian Mekawulu.
Yeah, kind of had a couple of words there for Ivan Chuchek on the dunk.
14-point lead for the Tigers.
And it just, you know, of course, set out a couple years ago with the knee injury. You just see him and his confidence just grow game by game. Christian Mekawulu.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. And you know, there's some nights out there he looks like a top-five player in our league. And that's something that we need from him. And, you know, especially moving into the second part of league play, we need that. And he's done a really good job in terms of his progress over his career here, this being his third year on the floor for us. And, you know, you can look back at his freshman year, and he had some big games, but he struggled to be consistent. And now he's basically a threat on offense every time down the floor, as long as we can get him the ball. And that's something that we've got to really, really address this week and every day the rest of the year. Is no matter what we're facing on the defensive end, whether it's a zone, whether it's pressure on the perimeter, he's still got to get the ball. And, you know, when the ball is in his hands, the only thing that we worry about as coaches is sometimes he'll turn it over. But, again, you know, he's a 6'7", 6'8", center, typically going against two or three people. So if we can live with a couple of turnovers as long as he continues to give us the numbers that he gives us.
Once again, those radio calls courtesy of 102.1 FM. This coming Thursday and Saturday, two teams you just seemingly played really last week, a week ago yesterday and a week ago Thursday. But you have SIUE coming in Thursday night, 7:30, and then Eastern Illinois Saturday night at 7:30. Do want to mention this, that the women's game Thursday is at 11 a.m. It's where they bring all the Metro School students in and the youth and everything. So that will be at 11 o'clock earlier that day than the doubleheader Saturday night, at 5:30 and 7:30. But these are two teams you just spent quite a bit of time working on, and here you got to play them again.
For sure. And you know, they're big games because they're the next games. But most importantly, when you look at the top three teams in the league right now, Belmont, Murray State, Jacksonville State, Belmont's got 7 wins. Jacksonville State, Murray State's got 6. Well, the rest of us, we're all right there jammed together. So, you know, by week's end, we could be as high as 4th in the league if other people in front of us, you know, lose. And we need to take advantage of that. But right now, we're currently around, I guess, 5th or 6th, right a game behind SEMO, who's actually ineligible for the tournament. So you can move everyone's standing up a number. And we need to take care of business against these two teams, I believe, that share the same conference record as we do. We've got them on our home floor. We need to be prepared. And we need to come out with the urgency and the intensity that we need in order to give ourselves the best chance to win. And if we can sit at the end of the week, get ourselves back to .500 by week's end in league play, that would be well for us, because that's, you know, it's a conference race, and we just want to be right in the thick of things and see where everything shakes out.
Well, and you know, obviously it's one at a time. We understand that SIUE first and then Eastern Illinois, that SIUE, one of those single possession games. I know you had a couple threes at the buzzer to force overtime. You had a free throw opportunity to really put the game away. So certainly that, you know, memory still being fresh. But it gets to a point where, and I guess I can say it because I don't have to coach it a game at a time, but to put together a nice run, string together some victories. I think that's the next step.
Yeah, but you have to play well, Greg. You have to consistently do things in order to produce wins. And like for us, this year's team really struggles to rebound the ball. If you can't defense a rebound, you can't win games in a row. And we'll have to get that figured out. We'll have to be more of a traditional box-out team moving forward as opposed to what we've been in the past or what we felt like we were going to be even through some of our recruiting efforts, guys just being able to go get a rebound. And obviously we struggle with that. But if we don't rebound this week, we won't beat anybody. And that's the theme for us this week is the rebound. And as long as we do that, we feel like our chances to win will be higher than what they've been here in the past in terms of winning every other game. But if you want to win consistently, you have to do it with defense and rebounding and then taking care of the ball. So if we do those things this week, we like our chances. But if we don't want to do those things, then it'll come down to final possessions and who knows what can happen.
Thursday night, SIUE, 7:30, and then Saturday night, Eastern Illinois, 7:30. Both those men's games at the Gentry Center. Dana, thank you. Appreciate it, man.
See you, Greg. Have a good week.
All right, TSU basketball coach Dana Ford. After the break, Lady Tigers coach Jessica Kern, right here, National Sports Radio.
America, the home of fun-seeking adventurers. And they all like draw games.
Lotto America, it's a game for you and me.
But wait till they get a load of Lotto America.
Lotto America.
With tickets just $1, drawings twice a week, and jackpots starting at $2 million. It's Lotto America from the Tennessee Lottery.
I love my community. And as a doting dad.
Daddy's home.
A devoted son.
There you are, Joe.
And a good neighbor.
Hey, man.
The people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door. But as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Nice try, Mother Nature. Rain? Sleet? Snow? Uh-uh. Rookie moves. It's game day, and I'm not some fair weather fan. Give me all you got. Nothing stands between me and my team.
The 2017 Nissan Rogue. Available with intelligent all-wheel drive for the not-so-fair weather fans. Take on today. Nissan, proud partner of college athletics.
McDonald's takes the lead and goes big, adding 2-for-5 deals up on the board. What's it going to be? The iconic Big Mac, 10-piece chicken McNuggets, filet of fish, or quarter pounder with cheese? Oh, they're good! They're all good! The fan favorites you love are back on the McPick 2 menu. Choose any two for just $5. Mix and match your McDonald's faves today. At participating McDonald's, limited time offer, single item at regular price.
Locally owned for over 20 years, Franklin American Mortgage Company has grown from humble roots to become one of the largest mortgage lenders in the nation. But they've never gotten too big to give back to the communities that have given them so much. They're proud to support numerous national and regional charities, as well as youth, collegiate, and professional sports in the Nashville area. Their values aren't only in their great rates and unparalleled service, they're in everything they do. Franklin American Mortgage. It all begins with home. Equal housing lender, NMLS number 1599.
Hey, TOA.
What's that about?
TOA cheer.
TOA?
You know, Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance.
Why are they cheering for them?
Well, they take care of more athletes in Middle Tennessee than anyone, treating joints, bones, muscles.
So if one of these players needs help, they should call TOA?
Yeah, or they can just yell, because there's likely a TOA physician already on the sidelines. They love football.
Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance, official team physician of TSU Tigers Athletics. Visit TOA.com today.
Enjoy an evening of great food, fun, and basketball all at Courtside as the TSU Tigers and Lady Tigers take on OVC rival Eastern Kentucky in the last home games of the regular season. It's the 19th annual Courtside Dining Basketball event on Saturday, February 17th at Gentry Center. The doubleheader tips off at 5:30 and fans can bid on exclusive items at the silent auction and have a wonderful meal while catching the games in this wonderful tradition. For tickets and information, visit TSUTigers.com or call 615-963-5841. Go Big Blue!
TSU Basketball Coaches Show. Greg Pogue here, Sunday mornings. It's all presented by Franklin American Mortgage. Zach Williams producing this morning, joined now by Lady Tigers coach Jessica Curran. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I was looked at your Twitter account. What's so funny?
Oh, because I've got so many people sending me texts this morning, like, go to sleep.
But your little son and friend and everything just passed out on the couch, and what you just troopers wanted to stay up and break down film with you, huh? Last night
they tried. You know, BJ has gotten really used to this. But that was Coach Stallings, her younger daughter.
Yeah.
And, you know, they tried, and they didn't make it. So it was one of those nights. Do you carry them upstairs, or do you sleep on the other couch? And I sure slept on the other couch.
Well, they were out of it. You knew exactly what I was talking about when I said your Twitter account, because it's such a great photo, and your off the top of your head, at Coach Curran on Twitter.
Uh-huh. At Coach J. Curran.
Yeah. And if people want to follow you, you're a really good follow on there. I really enjoy following you on Twitter. Last night, I'm just, you know, thinking about the game in Murray State, and I pointed it out in the post game. Just your shooting. First quarter, 56%. Then the next three quarters, 23%, 27%, 31%. And still, you have a chance, you know, late in that game to make a run. It just, shooting last night was pretty tough for you, 34% from the field.
It was. And, you know, Kalia Griffin helped us out. You know, she definitely helped us out opening up a little bit from the outside. We're an inside-out team. I think everyone has figured that out at this point. And the ball has to touch the inside in order for us to be productive. However, if we're not making shots from the outside, it makes it very difficult for our post core. And they have to work extra hard. And I also mentioned that Maxine Beard, you know, was just on the ball a lot. And is consistently on the ball a lot. And I just need more production from my bench. And we told them that in the locker room. Shooters, if you're not going to hit shots, very, very difficult to have an inside-out game, and then we're constantly trying to get it back on the defensive end.
Well, and you mentioned the bench scoring last night, the final 85 to 73. You lose by 12. You were outscored by 15 in bench scoring.
Right, for sure. You know, and again, I've said this, you know, and it's really, at this point, it's a moot point. You know, us being young has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with scoring the basketball. That's why you're here. As a Division I player, you should be able to score the basketball. That's period. IQ, we can help you work on that. And we need more from our bench. You know, Taylor Williams had a great preseason, and we need her to hit her second win. You know, that's very imperative for us, because when we were having success, she was a part of that as well. Adriana Worcester, got to get her more on ball and off ball. And again, we've got a 6'4 target that's not easy to find in Maya Garrett, and we simply need some production out of her. But at the end of the day, key players have to be eligible to play at the end of the game for us to have a shot.
Well, and again, I was, you know, pointing out just the quarter by quarter, and obviously that shooting, it just seems like, Jessica, there's one quarter that does you in, and I'll give you the example. The first quarter, it was 25-24. The third quarter, it was 25-21. The fourth quarter, you outscore Murray State by 2, but you lose by 12, and you get outscored by 11 in the second quarter. And then that second half, you're playing, you know, stress basketball, having to come from behind and say, hey, you know, and we talked to Dana Ford earlier, there's no such thing as a 10-point shot. You can't get it all at once. But that just, it seems like there's each game you can play even, but there's that one quarter like last night where you outscored by 9, and, you know, there's the difference.
Right, and that's our depth. That's our depth. You know, again, you would hope if you had an intense first quarter, you would hope that some reserve players were able to come in and fill some valuable minutes and bring you a new spark of energy so people can sort of get their second win and get back going. And again, too many people are playing way too many minutes, and we're needing them to do it all. For example, Asia Sims, you know, it's very difficult when you look at the stat line with Asia because effort is not a stat line on there. But Asia is our leading defender. I mean, she defends 6'3". She defends guard. She face guards. She doubles, you know. And when you're exuding that much energy on the defensive end for a player who offensively understands that she's a role player, it's very difficult to create your own shot. We just need production out of our reserves. That's very simple. However, again, getting double digits from Tia Wooten, Taylor Roberts showed up a bit more. And then Kalia, again, and that's hats off to Coach Stallings. She put her through a fantastic shooting workout literally right before we warmed up. It seemed to be working. So if that's her pregame thing now, that's her pregame thing. She really enjoyed it.
Well, and again, with Kalia, 6 of 12, 5 of 9 on the 3, 17 points, one of her better games. And you mentioned Tia Wooten. I mean, it's almost we take for granted when we talk about your team. Last night, 28 points, 10 rebounds. And just, you know, obviously the anchor for your team.
Right, right. How was it to watch those two young ladies go at it last night? I mean, that's two pro players on the floor. Those two have a very long career in women's basketball. God willing, they stay healthy. You know, and what I'm more impressed about is because two nights ago, I had a long talk with Tia about being legal at the end of the game. We are just a better team, period, when you're on the floor. And it gives us a chance. And as a coach, all you want is a chance. That's all you want. I like to think I'm not going to be out-coached, but I just want to be in the fight. And so I'm very proud of her demeanor. We're still working on her game management, how to take the right shots at what time, learning that you can't take over every play, and you have to get your teammates involved, especially when we're trying to make a comeback.
Well, and you know, the other player you mentioned was Kashana James. It seems like she's about an eighth-year senior. I mean, you talk about it, she played just under 40 minutes last night, 22 points, 12 rebounds, and she's right at six foot, but she can play. She plays everything but the five, really, I mean, and she's so hard to guard because she has said such quickness and ball handling ability and the ability to just stop and pop.
That's right. She's a great problem to have. You know, I can't sit up here and say, I can't wait till she graduates. You know, I can't say it. I'm going to joke it up at a little bit at the end of the game because she's a great kid. And in this sport, man, you know, with young people seeing the quick, fast, and in a hurry way to do it, and, you know, watching pro athletes on TV not necessarily being the best example, she's a very nice young lady, and I wish her the absolute best in her career. And she'll have a great career. But she's a good problem to have. Asia Sims, I thought, did a relatively decent job on her. But again, when you're trying to scrape from behind, trying to stop someone's, you know, lead score is a challenge. And I put that to Asia, between actually Asia, Tia Wooten, and at one point you had Taylor Williams on her as well. But she had a great night, but it was good to see Tia respond.
Well, and you mentioned it too. I mean, you were at Mississippi Valley State, the head coach last year, and you had enough of her last year. Now you come here and you got her, you know, here.
Right. So. Right, right. She had a game against us last year, you know, and obviously she had one again this year, you know, but we're hoping, you know, our goal again is to make the tournament at the end of the year. We know this thing is really tight right now. There's a lot of basketball to be played, you know, but I told the kids in the locker room, for every one of these moments, if there's a second opportunity, you got to take heed of the second opportunity. And so we, you know, hang our hats on being tough again if all players are legal to be on the floor. And I told the kids last night, you know, toughness is hard to find. It's hard to teach, but boy, is it hard to beat. And we want to be that team that's tough beginning to end. And we got one more quarter to put together.
TSU Basketball Coaches Show, presented by Franklin American Mortgage. Jessica Kern, Lady Tigers coach. One thing you said to me stuck out last night, and I was reading your postgame quotes with a story as well online, is that you shot 63 times, and you said that was too many. What is ideal?
Ideal? For us, because right now our field goal percentage is not where we want it to be. When we shoot volume shooting, we're unsuccessful. Perfect example. When Kalia Griffin shoots five or less three-point shots as a team, we're in the fight. When Taylor Williams shoots five or more as a team, we're in the fight. it has to be limited to where kids are in their strong points. And so what we're doing is, it's not just watching film. We are doing our absolute best to break down when kids peak. And for us, including Tia, when we shoot 45 to 55 shots as a unit, we're either up going into the half or it's almost a tie ball game going into the fourth, which we're outscoring our opponents. And that's when I say we want a chance. That gives us the best opportunity to have a chance.
Well, and 63 shots, 34%, and certainly not all shots are good, right? I mean, you know, obviously right. beyond just the force ones, but there are times when you have an open look that maybe it's not the best to take because it's not coming in the flow of the offense.
That's right. That's right. And for a team like Murray, who's extremely athletic, the minute you miss a quick one, they fly. And we capitalize it on, you know, and they capitalize on the other end, you know. I told Asia Sims, she took a buddy there on the baseline closer to my bench in the second half, you know. And I said, yeah, honey, I understand you want to score the ball, but we are one pass away from a layup. We have to execute better so teams don't have an opportunity to go on a run. And the game was a game of runs last night. You know, when you talked about 60s, I thought you were talking about the free throws there for a minute.
Jessica Kern with us, Lady Tigers coach. Talk a little bit about Thursday night with Austin Peay. And I don't know if I've ever seen this before, but in the 75-59 loss, T.O. Wooten had 20 points in the first half and yep. No fouls. She had 4 fouls and 2 points in the third quarter.
Yeah, guys, and I meant what I said in my post-game interview, you know, and take it at face value. In my entire coaching career, I've never seen that. I've never seen that. And then not just her getting 4 fouls. Again, my top scorer simultaneously getting them all in a quarter. You know, and we have to make a choice in this game. You know, I think in women's basketball, and I said this earlier in the year, we consistently have rule interpretation years trying to figure out how we're going to make this game a more scoring game. The reality of the situation is back to physical basketball is what puts butts in seats. It's not high scoring. We're either going to let the young ladies play or we're not. But that was the absolute first time that I had ever seen it. And again, I'm having to teach young people about you have to play smarter. If this is the situation in which we're in, for example, Tia Wooten fouled out, which we thought was a clean block, well, that one you let go, kiddo. And we don't question your effort. We just need you to be smart and be on the floor.
Well, and again, 20 points first half, 2 in the second, and 4 fouls just coming just in succession there in the third quarter as well. Again, too, against Austin Peay, only 2 of 16 on threes. Who all has the green light on your team to shoot threes?
Sure. Well, believe it or not, Tia Wooten is one of our best three-point shooters. And so that's why you've got you got Taylor Roberts, Jaden Wrightso, and Tia Wooten in there, so Tia can play the three, which helps us tremendously. But Kalia Griffith, Taylor Williams, these are outside shooters. You know, Taylor Williams and Kalia are in the top 15 in the conference in shooting percentage, which is still great. I don't think anybody in the gym knows Kalia doesn't have a problem pulling it, but it's in rhythm shots. Taylor Williams is a freshman. When they don't fall, you start to question yourself. The only way to fix that is to get back in the gym. So those are our two shooters for us right now. Asia Sims, her sweet spot is in that deep corner. Everybody knows that. She's a hard problem to have. And then Fran Brown as a reserve helps us tremendously when she can pop one every once in a while. So other than that, nobody. And I have to say that on the mic because some of my kids, you know, with that three-point line, I'm like, honey, did you take it in practice? That's not what you do in the game. That's not your thing.
Well, this coming week, a different type of deal. The Thursday game against SIUE, 11 o'clock in the morning. We'll do the pregame on 102.1 FM, Albert, myself, at 10:45. And I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be a bunch of screaming kids in there. It's a fun atmosphere.
Listen, I'm excited about it. Half the time, Education Day, they're cheering for the wrong team, but whatever. Whatever. It's just fun to have young people, but more importantly, it's fun for our student athletes who put in a lot of effort to see young people who aspire to be like them. And I remember that when I did it in college, and it's just such a great experience. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. I hope the gym is rocking. I hope it's packed because we got to get one here at home.
Well, and two teams you're familiar with. Then back to the traditional starting time, 5:30 on Saturday, SIUE and Eastern Illinois. And quite frankly, a couple teams you probably owe something to because the woulda, shoulda, couldas in both of those games.
No question about it. No question about it. You know, I looked at the standings, obviously, last night. You know, and there's a four-way tie for fourth going on here. And we're sitting, you know, right now in 10th. However, you know, it looks pretty good. It looks pretty good on our side if we can take care of some business and get some people back that we owe. Like I told you, we just want to be in Evansville. I like our chances when we get there.
All right. Hey, Jessica, enjoy the rest of the day. Appreciate
Thanks,
it. We'll see you Thursday.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. To Jessica Kern. We'll take a break, be back, and wrap it up in a few.
I love my community. And as a doting dad.
Daddy's home.
A devoted son.
There you are, Joe.
And a good neighbor.
Hey, man.
The people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door. But as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When you play the new Multiplier Instant Games from the Tennessee Lottery, there's a chance you could win more cash than you expected. In fact, with Multiplier Games, you could turn $1,000 into $10,000, $5,000 into $250,000, or you could even turn $10,000 into a whopping $2 million. So pick up a Multiplier Instant Game today, and you could just watch the cash fall into place. Multiplier Games, new from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Just remember to play responsibly.
Enjoy an evening of great food, fun, and basketball all at Courtside as the TSU Tigers and Lady Tigers take on OVC rival Eastern Kentucky in the last home games of the regular season. It's the 19th annual Courtside Dining Basketball event on Saturday, February 17th at Gentry Center. The doubleheader tips off at 5:30 and fans can bid on exclusive items at the silent auction and have a wonderful meal while catching the games in this wonderful tradition. For tickets and information, visit TSUTigers.com or call 615-963-5841. Go Big Blue!
Nice try, Mother Nature. Rain? Sleet? Snow? Uh-uh. Rookie moves. It's game day, and I'm not some fair weather fan. Give me all you got. Nothing stands between me and my team.
The 2017 Nissan Rogue. Available with intelligent all-wheel drive for the not-so-fair weather fans. Take on today. Nissan, proud partner of college athletics.
Locally owned for over 20 years, Franklin American Mortgage Company has grown from humble roots to become one of the largest mortgage lenders in the nation. But they've never gotten too big to give back to the communities that have given them so much. They're proud to support numerous national and regional charities, as well as youth, collegiate, and professional sports in the Nashville area. Their values aren't only in their great rates and unparalleled service, they're in everything they do. Franklin American Mortgage. It all begins with home. Equal housing lender, NMLS number 1599.
Hey, TOA!
What's that about?
TOA cheer.
TOA?
You know, Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance.
Why are they cheering for them?
Well, they take care of more athletes in Middle Tennessee than anyone, treating joints, bones, muscles.
So if one of these players needs help, they should call TOA?
Yeah, or they can just yell, because there's likely a TOA physician already on the sidelines. They love football.
Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance, official team physician of TSU Tigers Athletics. Visit TOA.com today.
TSU Basketball Coaches Show presented by Franklin American Mortgage. Coming up at 1:50 today, Vanderbilt at Alabama. Charlie Matos with the call here this afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio. Looking at the men's basketball standings, Belmont now. They went into the week tied with Murray State and Austin Peay at 5-1. Belmont beats Austin Peay and Murray State 7-1 to sit atop the men's basketball standings. Murray State, Jacksonville State, both at 6-2. Then you have Tennessee Tech, Austin Peay 5-3. Southeast Missouri 4-4, but not eligible for the postseason. Tennessee State, Eastern Illinois, SIUE, all 3-5. And as Dana Ford mentioned, those two teams Wright come to town this week. SIUE on Thursday night and Eastern Illinois on Saturday night. Those men's games. And then you have Eastern Kentucky, UT Martin, and Morehead State rounding out the standings at 2-6 each. Belmont women still undefeated in conference play, 8-0. SIUE, 7-1. Jacksonville State 6-2, Morehead State at 5-3. So you've got four teams separated by four games, 1-4 there. But then they're all bunched up after that. Austin Peay, Southeast Missouri, Eastern Kentucky, UT Martin, all at 4-4. Murray State at 3-5, and then rounding out the bottom trio: TSU, Tennessee Tech, Eastern Illinois, 1-7. So again, just. 4 weeks into the season. Of course, it's an 18-game schedule this year. There are no divisions on the men's side. Of course, they got away with that. Got away with that with the women. So the top eight teams will make the OVC championships up at Evansville. The top eight on each side. And again, Belmont atop the ladies' standings at 8-0, and atop the men's standings at 7-1. And no surprise there. Both teams were picked to win. Well, Murray State and Belmont were sort of the co-favorites on the men's side, and you have on the women's side certainly Belmont. All right, 11 o'clock, SIUE, the Lady Tigers. That is on Thursday, 10:45, the pregame, and then the men's game that night against SIUE on Thursday at 7:15, the pregame 7:30, and then Saturday night, Eastern Illinois, traditional starting times, 5:30 the women, and 5:15 pregame, and then followed by the men's game. All those games, Albert Dawson and myself calling them on the 102.1 FM. Zach Williams, good to see you. Thanks for coming in this morning. Again, Vanderbilt and Alabama basketball at 1:50 this afternoon, 2 o'clock, the tip-off. Have a great rest of the day.